if a friend gave you some suggestions and you decided for one reason or another not to take their counsel, I don't suppose that would necessarily be very serious. If you went to a doctor and he gave you some advice, that could be a little more serious, right? Well, what would be the consequences of not taking the advice of something called wisdom? For the last several weeks, we've been discussing the book of Proverbs, and the subject of Proverbs, as you know, is wisdom. That book is trying to get us to live a wise life. And so far, I have described a wise life as that which is smooth. One of the Hebrew words used to describe wisdom is a smooth life. It's also a skillful life. A person living a wise life has skill in areas like personal relationships. They know how to get along with people. And it's also a moral life. There's a moral element to this. Well, suppose you didn't live that kind of a life. What's the results of rejecting that kind of wisdom? I can imagine somebody saying, you know, this sounds restrictive. Anytime you mention anything moral, that sounds like it has restrictions on it. Why not just go have fun and not worry about all those restraints? Or how about the fact that, well, even if you sin, you can always, you know, get forgiveness, right? somebody said it's easier to get permission and forgiveness than permission, so just go do it, and then, you know, after that you can get the forgiveness. Maybe you should do that. But the basic question is this. If I reject all this we've been talking about concerning wisdom, what? Well, what's the result? What are the consequences? Well, in order to answer that question, I would like to introduce you to a lady. And this lady, in no uncertain terms, is going to give us the result of rejecting wisdom. May I introduce you to her? She's in Proverbs chapter 1. Turn with me, if you will, once again to Proverbs chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She calls out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gate in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. But you disdained my counsel, and you would have none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock at your when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction like a whirlwind, when your distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil." Notice at the beginning of this passage, wisdom is personified as a lady. Verse 20 says, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice." So the lady I want to introduce you to is Lady Wisdom. You've heard of Lady Luck? This is Lady Wisdom, and she's a better bet than Lady Luck. Well, what does she have to say to us? Well, this passage can be divided into three parts. First of all, there is her plea. We're going to look at that in a bit. And then, as I have suggested, there is the rejection of her request. She finds people don't listen to her. And then finally in the passage, she gives the result of not listening to her wisdom. There are three specific results of not hearing Lady Wisdom. So let's begin by just listening for a moment to her plea. That's given to us in verses 20 through 23. She says, "Wisdom cries aloud. She opens her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates." Now, what is all of that talking about? Well, you have to understand that in the ancient world, a city was surrounded by a wall, which, of course, had gates to get in and out. Near those gates were open places, and in those open places, virtually everything that happened in the city took place. There are references throughout the Old Testament of the fact that this is where the courts were, this is where people conducted business, this is where they had the market. This was the open place where all the transactions of the city took place. The closest thing I know of it to a modern parallel is, have you ever been to a small town where it was the county square and the courthouse was right in the middle, and surrounding the courthouse were all the businesses? Well, that's sort of the setting. So the place where she's giving this plea is the open places in the city. She's not whispering this in the field. She's crying aloud in the city where all the people are gathered. Now, exactly what is it she wants us to hear? Well, the end of verse 21 says, she speaks her words. Now, the words follow, but I want to pause there for just a second. She speaks her words. What are the words of wisdom? Well, we're given some specific words beginning in verses 22 and following, but I want to pause just at the end of verse 21 and say, in general, everything we've been talking about in the book of Proverbs are her words, the words of wisdom. I have been personally struck by the fact that there is a very fascinating order to what we've been talking about. I want you to look at verse 7. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now look at verse 8. "My son, hear the instructions of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Interesting. Now look at verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice thee." I think this is rather fascinating. Three different groups of people are mentioned. First, the Lord, then your parents, and then your peers. It's almost as if wisdom is saying, look, you want to really learn how to live a wise life, you begin with the Lord. And then I suggested our second source of wisdom was our parents. And then we learn, according to the book of Proverbs, we should learn from our peers. Now, beginning in this chapter in verse 10, the peers here are not giving you good advice, but I've just been struck by the order that chapter 1 is laid out. That's what wisdom says. Come, listen to the Lord. Listen to the good, godly advice of your parents. Listen to the good advice of your friends. Hear wisdom. That's what this is all about. Now, let me get specific for a second. What are the kinds of things the Lord and our parents and good friends would tell us? Well, let me just suggest that while they would tell us many things, that almost everything they have to say would revolve around one of three things. They're going to tell us how to use our time. Don't waste it. They're going to tell us about money. Don't squander it. And they're going to talk a lot about relationships. Now, there are other subjects covered in the book of Proverbs, but you ought to just read Proverbs and notice how often those three subjects come up. Wisdom is saying Make wise use of your time. Make wise use of your money. Take a wise approach to relationships, and you are going to be better off. So wisdom has taken to the square. She's gone to the open public place, and she cries and says, "Hear me, hear the words of wisdom. Live a wise life with your time, with your money, and in your relationships with other people as well as the Lord." But alas, she not only wants to address this to everybody in general, she has several groups in particular in mind. Look at the next verse. She says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you." While I think wisdom is concerned with everyone, there are three groups specifically that she directs this plea to. And the first are the simple ones. Now, we've already looked at them. The word simple means open. These are the naive, easily impressionable people, the gullible people. And she said, "Hear me. How long are you going to love simplicity? How long are you going to be gullible?" The second group she is concerned about are scorners. And they, of course, are the ones who make light of things they shouldn't, and they mock things that they shouldn't. And fools, we have looked at before, those are people that are hard, and the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." He rejects wisdom just outright. Fools are inexperienced. I'm sorry, the simple are inexperienced. They just haven't had a lot of experience, and they're naive, and consequently they're gullible. Fools are different. They know, and yet they reject. They shut out all wisdom in their lives. So wisdom says, "Hear me, hear my reproof, hear me. You're going in the wrong direction, so turn." And that's the plea. That's the plea. Let me make a suggestion. I don't want to be dogmatic about this, but if my observation is right, that there's sort of an order and a pattern in this chapter of beginning with the Lord and parents and then peers, is it possible that the simpleton, the scorner, and the fool have gotten the order backwards? We know the fool doesn't listen to the Lord. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Is it possible that what's happening is here are a group of people who are following the crowd, so to speak, and they're listening to the peers and not their parents and the Lord? And so Lady Wisdom has gone to the place in the street where they're hanging out with the crowd, and she's pleading with them to turn back to the Lord and to a wise life. Perhaps that's what's going on here. But be all that as it may, this much is certain, that these opening verses in this paragraph are a plea to live a wise life, and there is no doubt that that begins with the fear of the Lord. Well, as I suggested a moment ago, in this case, we're talking about people who reject all of that. So, in verses 24 and 25, Lady Wisdom talks about the fact that some don't hear her. She says in verse 24, "Because I have called and you refused, and I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained my counsel and would have none of my reproof." So verses 20 through 23 are the plea, the request to turn, and verses 24 and 25 are the rejection of all of that. She says, "I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You disdained my counsel." The word disdain just means let it go. You can almost hear Lady Wisdom saying, "You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me." Or It went in one ear and out the other. I mean, that's what she's saying in good old simple parlance. If you will recall our last study, talked about the fact that if you listen to the crowd that she calls sinners in this passage, that they might appeal to that sinful side within you and you might end up participating in their sin. Perhaps what's going on here is the kind of thing where the mother sees the son hanging out with the wrong crowd. And she says, don't do that. They bring out the worst in you. Ever anybody tell you that? Ever had a friend or a parent say, don't hang out with that person, don't hang out with that crowd? They bring out the worst side of you. And what do? You hang out with them. You don't listen. And that's the kind of thing that she's talking about. But the real point of this passage, and the point I want us to get to, is the result of all of that. All right, so that's what's happening. What are the consequences of rejecting wisdom? What happens when you refuse to hear Lady Wisdom? Well, look at verse 26. It says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock at your terror. Drop down to verse 28. And they will call on me, but I will not answer. Now, there is a sense in which the rest of this passage gives the result from the viewpoint of Lady Wisdom. And what she says she's going to do is that something's going to happen, and she's going to laugh, she's going to mock, and she's not going to answer you when you try to get an answer out of her. Now, that's the result from Lady Wisdom's point of view. But also in these verses is the result from our point of view if we don't hear wisdom. So I'm going to move through this passage and focus on the three results from the point of view of someone who rejects wisdom. And here they are. I will laugh at your calamity. That's the first. Second, I will mock at your terror. When your terror comes upon you like a storm and your destruction. There are the three results of rejecting wisdom. Calamity, terror, and destruction. Now I want us to take a minute and look at each of these. First is calamity. That Hebrew word means distress. Now, what does the English word mean? So I took Webster off the shelf and I looked up calamity in English, and guess what the word calamity means in English? Distress. Now, think for just a minute. Is it not true that when you don't do what's smart or wise, you end up stressed? Now what happens? Let's take those three things I mentioned a minute ago. Let's take time. You didn't use your time wisely and you end up stressed. When I got out of high school and went to college, I did what every other freshman in college does. I goofed off. And what happens when you come time for final exams? You goofed off all your time, so you get real stressed the night before the exam and you get uptight. Students call it burning the midnight oil. What's happening? Calamity. That's what's happening. Calamity. Or take the whole thing of money. Should you use your money wisely? Absolutely. So what does this generation do? They've gone crazy with credit cards. And then the bill comes. And you look at the bill and there is stress, distress, calamity. Exactly what the scripture said. Or relationships. Let me just tell you, any relationship takes work. Any relationship. And the most difficult relationship, because it takes the most time and work, is marriage. And if you neglect the relationship or something comes between you and you allow that to come in, what happens next? Stress, distress, calamity. That's the result. You can ignore what's wise, but the price you pay is stress, distress, calamity. There is a second. She says, by the way, I don't want to skip over this. Let me back up for a second. Verse 26, I will laugh. Boy, that sounds cruel. Sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? I mean, Lady Wisdom doesn't sound like a very gracious lady if she's sitting in the corner and laughing. Well, she's not laughing at the person. Look at verse 26. I will laugh at what? The calamity. The calamity. So she's not laughing at the person. Wisdom is laughing at the absurdity of being foolish. So that's what she's saying. But be that as it may, there's a second result from our point of view who reject wisdom. And she says in verse 26, and I will mock when your terror comes. Now, this word, this passage, this whole chapter uses the word fear several times, the fear of the Lord. And we discussed that when we went through verse 7 and talked about the fact this doesn't mean that you're terrified. Remember? Well, let me tell you. One of the ways I know that is this is the Hebrew word for terror. And you know what it means? To be terrified. It gets you right in the gut. It gets you right in the gut of the stomach. That if you live an unwise life, the first thing that happens is there's stress. And the next thing that happens is there's sheer terror. So the student didn't wisely use his time. And he got distressed the night before. But when he looked at those questions, he was struck with terror. Or the consumer. The consumer who spends and puts it on credit cards and spends and puts it on credit cards sees the bill and gets distressed. Looks carefully after months and years of that and looks at the balance and gets terrified. There can actually come the point when you can't even make the minimum payment. And terror strikes your heart. You can bicker with your mate, spouse, until it gets real serious. And one day there's that sinking feeling in your stomach, you know? This is real serious stuff. So the second result is terror. Now, it's this one that Lady Wisdom amplifies and expands the most. And so I want us to look at just exactly why is this terror coming? Look at the rest of these verses. Verse 27 says, and your terror comes like a storm. That means it hits you suddenly. They didn't have the weatherman on Channel 7 or 2 or 4 telling you what the weather was going to be like for the next 7 days back in those days. It just, a storm came. You didn't have any warning. It hit suddenly. And your destruction like a whirlwind. Even till this day, a tornado can drop out of nowhere. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me and I will not answer. I think that's part of why there's terror. The fear, the terror, being terrified is you look at the situation and you don't see any hope. And that's when it grips your gut and wrings out your heart. Verse 28 says, they will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. And here's why. Because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and they despised my reproof. The reason the terror comes is there's no answer. And in their better moments, they realize, and it's my own fault. I didn't take the wise course. I did what was dumb and stupid. And now it looks like I've made a mess. And I call out for wisdom, and I can't find any. Some people get in this panic mode, and they run from counselor to counselor and pastor to pastor like a butterfly flitting.